Welcome to the WITY Sports Special Presentation of the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show on WITY 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITYRadio.com, and the WITY Radio app. I'm Chad Baker. Across the way, Joe Anglum.
Wow. Football playoff. I can't wait to see who we have and who's playing who and where and at what time. This is exciting. This is like Christmas coming early.
You know, it doesn't seem that long ago, Joe, that we were in this very space with 2024. And I think that was last time we talked on air. We didn't get you in on any games this year. You were over on the Indiana side.
I was covering those games in the Wabash River Conference, but I always like to keep my hand in the game here as well. So
absolutely.
I'm just really excited, like most people this time of the year, if you are a fan of high school football, to see, again, who's going to play who and where, whether it's home or away, and what their record is and who did they play and all that good stuff. This is fantastic.
It was just a wonderful season weather-wise. Up until last night, we really didn't see too many people huddling in the crowd. It was almost summer-like for a good half of the season, and then really nice temperatures throughout. Last night was the first time that I think we had a press box where we turned the heat on. And trust me, thank you to the folks at Salt Fork for allowing us to do that, because it was a little crisp last night by the time that the game got over.
It was a little crisp across the state line as well. And, of course, as you get older, it doesn't take much to get us in an uncomfortable condition, you know. So, but it was a beautiful season in terms of weather, as you mentioned, and not until yesterday did the weather, as you mentioned, become a little dicey. But the first eight games here in Illinois were fantastic weather-wise. So it's been a really nice football season for not only the spectators, but the young men who participate in football.
We saw some great surprises in football this 2025 season. There's six conferences that we really focus on here, and that includes eight-man. We'll get into that as time allows here this evening, but the teams have already played the games. The hard part now is to put it in the hands of the guys that are putting the map together and the brackets at IHSA. And, of course, we'll have those pairings coming up in the second hour of our program here this evening. Want to thank our sponsors this season for supporting all of our broadcasts here for football and, of course, for our playoff pairing show. They are, of course, our presenting sponsor, OSF Healthcare, osfhealthcare.org. Our good buddy over there at the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, Jay Miller, the deputy there with the doing great wonders with the DARE program. They were on with us, yes, yet again this year. State Farm agent Kurt Ellis, who was the presenter of our pregame this year. Folks over at Latos Hardware, always great to have them on, Latos Hardware in Westville. UHAS Diagnostic Center came on this year. You can find them for all those repairs that you need for your vehicle, and they even work in those golf carts, so definitely make sure that you reach out to them. We've got State Farm agent Ross Webb. Ross's Boss of the Week was a popular item this year. In fact, you can go back on our social media page and see photos of each and every winner this season. We'll have that throughout the playoffs as well. ServPro of Vermilion County, like it never even happened. Make sure you reach out to them. Our good buddy Fidelis and the team up at MedPlus Pharmacy for all your needs there with prescription medications. Make sure you reach out to MedPlus Pharmacy. Our good folks over at the store over on the northwest side of the four-way in Catlin. Hopefully they're tuning in tonight and finding out whether or not their Salt Fork Storm is going to be, how far they're going to have to travel to get their first-round game in. And Country Financial agent Dustin Ehler in Fairmount, who probably is the one person that is rubbing his hands, excited for football season to end so he can dive into getting us our East Central Illinois Wrestling Digest started as a big wrestling guy there. But now, all seriousness aside, Dustin's excited for football as well. And he is your Country Financial agent. based in Fairmount. Well, we have a couple of coaches that we talked to here, and we'll talk with Coach Cameron Lee of Oakwood Comets a little bit later on. And we've got Coach Mark Dodd with the BHRA Blue Devils. Right now, we're going to go to the phone lines here. We start off our coverage this evening with Coach Guy Goodlove of Westville, the Tigers, winners of the Vermilion Valley Conference this season in the regular season. And, Coach, thanks for joining us here for our 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's great. We talk about the Vermilion Valley Conference, a strong conference. Five teams again this year getting in. Of course, the top cheese right now, your Westville Tigers. And I don't think there was ever a doubt in anyone's mind of just how good this team is. By the way that you have mowed down competition this year, let's first talk about your running attack. Once again, that Guy Goodlove running attack that we know and love and enjoy watching week in, week out, anchored by Jack Eisenhower and Lincoln Cravens, and you have just really, really dominated out of the backfield this year. What's been the secret to getting these guys? Because you do have a little bit of speed, a little bit of power. It's a nice balance.
Well, I tell you what, it all starts up front along that line of scrimmage. Our offensive line, we returned every starter from last year, and we played Chester, who was, I think, a number one seed last year, and took them to the wire, and we returned everybody. So, and they worked hard in the offseason, lifted weights. You know, the best thing about them, they're big, and they move their feet extremely well. We're quick for as big as we are. So we can get up in you before you can get out of a stance. So that has really made our backfield that much more explosive. And you talk about Jack Eister and you talk about Lincoln Cravens, but people forget about Easton Barney. Easton Barney's, you know, when he touches the ball, he makes a lot of things happen, whether he's running the football or he's catching passes. And probably the best kept secret in the county is our wideout, Landon Kuhn. He's as good, if not the best receiver in the conference. So we're explosive everywhere. And when we've had to, you know, we lost Lincoln for a couple games due to an ankle injury, but he's back this week. Our sophomore, Liam Hughes, filled in and did a remarkable job for being a sophomore. And Liam will turn around and start at outside linebacker for us defensively. So when we've needed people, people have stepped up and come through. And we lost only one starter off last year's team. And boy, you talk about the experience that they got from last year's team, from playing last year. So it's really paid off this year.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the line because that was where I was going to go next. We all know that Westville interior line, both on the offense and defense, always so dominant. And really, that's been the hallmark of your success here in recent years is the fact that you guys are quick, you're powerful, you dominate from the snap of the ball. And right now, I'm hard-pressed to find anybody that touches you. Definitely not in the conference. We know that there's probably some teams from around the region, around the state, but around the area, I don't know that anybody really touches the success that you guys have had on the line.
Well, and it all starts with the job that Coach Gay has done with this offensive line. I mean, he's worked hard ever since school's been out. He's worked hard with this offensive line and during the summer and the weight room, et cetera, and it's paying off right now. It's big dividends for us. And, you know, we've got our five starters, plus we've got two guys if somebody goes down, which we've been fortunate. We haven't had many injuries this year. Somebody goes down, we've got somebody in the wings that's just as good as a starter. One of the players that have really come through for us, we tried to make him a starter last year. We tried to get it out of him, but he wasn't ready yet. And that's Bryce Portman. He's our tight end, and he's our defensive end. He's a 6'4" kid. He weighs 240. And last year, we just couldn't get him to be aggressive enough or be physical. But this year, you know, something happens to kids when they become seniors, and he has really become a ball player for us. So that's also been a big, big plus for this team, having that kid step up and play the way he's been playing this season.
Very solid kid. And, of course, we saw him score a big touchdown in one of our broadcasts earlier this year that we were doing. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the quarterback play there. You have just a great young man, Easton Bolin, who is coming out there, a left-handed quarterback, as mobile, can get it downfield, make some plays, and doesn't get into trouble. Of course, the line helps with that, but very smart ball player out there.
I'll tell you what, he's come a long way from last year. You know, when we started the season, I think we had 21 drop snaps that first game last year versus Salt Fork.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a game that we were heavily favored in. Anytime you have 21 drop snaps, you're just not going to win that ball game. But I had faith. You know, the coaches had faith in Easton. We knew what type of athlete he was. And it was just a matter of time before he got that experience and matured back there. And it's really showed this year. We've got a very powerful, very strong up front. We've got four guys out there, Easton, Barney, Jack, that can all make things happen. And probably, most definitely, best athlete on the field, quarterback. So you can focus on stopping our backs, but boy, you forget about Easton Bowen. He'll make you pay for it. And not only can he run the ball, he's our fastest kid. He throws a darn good ball.
Yeah.
And our kids do a good job. If they touch it, they're going to catch it. They're going to come down with it.
He came out of the gate with two big wins against your biggest rival, Salt Fork, Bismarck, Henry, Rossville, Alvin in there, and then, of course, the Colbuck. Hey, there again, this season, you've only had one game in which you did not have a running clock. Easy to really kind of get a big head about things, but you have kept these guys humble, and not only that, but you've been able to develop depth. You've got guys that whenever you put them in late in the game, they are taking advantage of their varsity time. They play to the word go, and it's allowed you to really, really develop some depth. What have been some pleasant surprises for you that folks don't know about, or if they haven't been following the team as closely as we have this year, that you want to put a spotlight on?
Well, I'll tell you what, most of the stats that you see, like Jack Eister has, his rushing yards, touchdowns, or any of our guys, most of those guys are out, if not by halftime, by a little bit into the third quarter, we have them out. We give them one series in the third quarter, and then we get them out and play our JV. So our junior varsity group has got a lot of varsity experience this year. And, you know, that's paid dividends because when it comes to JV ball, they're undefeated. They haven't lost a game at the junior varsity level either. And it shows because they've played so many minutes of varsity football against good competition, so against varsity athletes. So when it comes to JV, they're very good, they're very competitive, and they play hard. So we've got some depth here, and, you know, we're going to be losing a lot of seniors after this year. The cupboard's not bare. The cupboard's just fine. So
absolutely. Coach, you've been doing this for three decades now. You had the couple of runner-up teams at state. Where does this rank among all your all-time teams here? Is this as good as those teams? Do you feel like maybe the ceiling's a little higher? Maybe this is the team that can get it done?
Well, only time will tell. You know, I hate to put any pressure on this team or make any predictions, but they've got all the intangibles that you need to make a deep, deep run into the playoffs. But I'm also been around long enough to know that it's one injury here or something, or a fumble, or, you know, or an interception, or maybe you miss a tackle, you know, that keeps you out of the playoffs. It's just a game of inches, and usually that's when you get into playoff football, that's what decides ball games. But they have everything it takes to make a deep, deep run. And boy, I keep telling them, you get to the Final Four, anything can happen. Anything can happen, but it's one game at a time. You know, we use that old acronym, the word WIN, and WIN stands for what's important now. What are we doing right now in this moment to make ourselves better as a football team? And I think this group has really done a good job of getting better every day. Every week we've played better. So that's a positive. You know, good things happen to people who work hard and have a positive attitude. We've had that all season long.
Very, very good team here. There again, this group of guys, this nucleus, we need to point out, undefeated this season. Last season, four losses, all by a total of 9 points. So this is a team that has been very good for very long, just showing their dominance. And really, you feel like they've even reached their peak yet, because there's so much that we can uncover here about this team that we know what they're against with in the VVC. But you get a team in the playoffs, we know what is out there. You get a team that it maybe pairs a little bit better with you. I mean, how well do you look against those teams, do you think?
I, I think we match up well. We've seen most of the teams that we think we're going to play. Mm-hmm. I think we match up fine. You know, it's like one of my assistant coaches said, "Coach, we can worry about playing this team or worry about playing that team." He said, "But by golly, they got to worry about playing us."
I love that attitude. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, we're going to be hard to stop for anybody. But, you know, we also understand and realize we're going to have to stop whoever.
Yeah.
You know, so, but like, we can run the ball, we can put the ball in the air, and we are quick everywhere. So, boy, when you got those things, you present a headache for the other team, too. So that's our attitude, and as long as our attitude stays great, we'll be just fine.
Tying up with you, Coach, any evening parties, any get-togethers with the team here before leading into the playoff pairings and getting together with the team, or do you guys just kind of let the players do their own thing with their families?
We have a playoff pairing thing here at the locker room in the new facility up here at Westville High School. We'll bring them in and watch the playoff pairing show, feed them pizza, and then we'll have a game plan. We'll find out who we play, and then we'll call the school and get a couple films exchanged, and get back to work. Here, a week of football. You know, we probably play on a Saturday afternoon around 2 o'clock, and that first game should be right here at Westville. So we're looking forward to it, and we're excited. The kids excited. And the community, we've already got signs popping up around the community. So
yes, you do.
Yeah, playoff football is always a good time.
Always great to have home cooking in Week 10, definitely. And all the best to you, Coach. I appreciate your time spent with us here, and all the best to you. We look forward to seeing you out there.
Okay, thank you.
Coach Guy Goodlove with the Westville Tigers, and Joe, one of seven teams earmarked for 2A that is currently undefeated. They're ranked fourth in that standings as of right now behind Rock Ridge, Johnston City, and El Paso Gridley. But we've seen this team dominant all year long. I know that we've caught each other out of the game out there this year. And 504 points they have scored, 108 they've given up, and some of that has been in mop-up duty. But right now, you know, have you seen anything in a while that looks like that Westville Tiger team?
They're really, really good, and they're good in all aspects of the game, offense, defense, the kicking game. They've got a total team, you know, together this year and with all the right parts. So I'm not sure that it's been, I think, some time since we've seen a team of this caliber with all of those parts, you know, heading into the playoffs. And we've had great teams and that have had this part or that part, but they're just well-rounded, really, really good in all aspects, and I'm anxious to see who they're going to play.
Well-oiled machine, no stone unturned. Yeah, I mean, you talk about coverage team on the special teams, amazing. You talk about special teams, amazing. Just so many different aspects of their game that is running on all cylinders right now.
And real quick, you know, they have so many seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, you've heard this said before that football is a numbers game, and it certainly is. And for a Class 2A school, they have a lot of players, but those numbers of players are dominated by that great senior class. So I'm looking for, you know, continued success for the Westville Tigers.
We'll definitely be excited to see who they host coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. When we return, we will have more of the IHSA Playoff Pairing Show. We'll talk with BHRA Coach Mark Dodd when we continue 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show here on WITY.
I'm John Ryder. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson will miss his third straight game with a hamstring injury. Tyler Huntley will get the start for Baltimore when they host Chicago tomorrow. To Week 9 in college football, and a Heisman candidate getting it done late in Nashville.
Ball's at the 1. Tied up at 10. Fourth quarter. There's the snap. It's a keeper for Diego Pavia. Runs toward the right.
There's Diego's
the end
touchdown.
Zone. Touchdown. Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia. A must-have moment. It's the magician. Diego Pavia saved that kid a seat in New York City.
Andrew Allegretto with the call on Learfield. Now is the go-ahead touchdown with under 2 minutes to play as 10th-ranked Vanderbilt gets past number 15 Missouri 17-10. And tough news for Mizzou. Quarterback Bo Perbula carted off the field with a left leg injury in the third quarter. Might be a broken leg. Washington drills number 23 Illinois 42-25 in Seattle. Damon Williams with four touchdown passes for the Huskies. Fourth-ranked Alabama rallies for a 29-22 win at South Carolina. Jeremy Bernard with a go-ahead 25-yard touchdown run with 34 seconds left. The Tide have won 7 in a row. They're 5-0 in the SEC. North Carolina at home falls to number 16 Virginia, 17-16 at overtime. Tar Heels failing on a game-winning two-point conversion. Head coach Bill Belichick.
We just keep getting better. It's just little incremental stuff. It's, you know, everybody doing 4 or 5% better times however many people. That makes a difference.
North Carolina drops to 2-5. They're 0-3 in the ACC. Number 8 Ole Miss goes into Norman and defeats number 13 Oklahoma 34-26. Memphis over South Florida 34-31.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal, but telehealth if she feels.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
Bring up the subject of life insurance, and many people try to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. Kurt Ellis, your local State Farm agent in Danville, focusing on the benefits of life insurance. Life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of having life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Kurt Ellis at 217-446-8039 or visit his office at 15 East Liberty Lane in Danville and get to a better state with State Farm.
The Vermillion County Sheriff's Department DARE program is a semester-long program provided to 5th or 6th grade students who reside in the county schools of Vermillion County. The lessons center on a wide range of topics such as responsibilities, drug resistance, risk and consequences, peer, family, personal, and media pressures, stress coping skills, communication, listening skills, good citizenship, bullying, and friendship foundation. The Vermillion County Sheriff's Department DARE program is wishing all student athletes good luck this season and to continue making good decisions outside of school and extracurricular activities.
Now your WITY Skywatch weather. I'm meteorologist James Covington. A few isolated showers tonight. Cloudy with a low near 45. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Becoming sunny, breezy, and mild for every Sunday. Area 64. East winds 10 to 20. Sunday night mostly clear, a bit cooler, low near 41. Having a look at Monday, mostly sunny, breezy, and less humid. Highs in the lower 60s. You are listening to Ileana's Best Choice, WITY.
Welcome back to the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show on WITY. Chad Baker, Joe Anglin with you. And we were just talking off air here, Joe, 9-0. You're looking down a little bit further in the classes there. Some possible 5-4, 6-3 scenarios for Westville, Shelbyville, Marshall, Nashville, all of them presenting maybe a little bit different challenge, and even the possibility that you could see BHRA, they keep the two teams home and quote-unquote cannibalize the VVC in the first round there by making them process of elimination there.
Absolutely. You know, you just don't know. And again, this is what makes this night so much fun, mm-hmm. is sitting here and trying to put the puzzle together before we have all the pieces of the puzzle. You know, but also, you know, it's always interesting to see, at least from my chair. So we have 9-0 teams, and then mm-hmm. we have 8-1 teams. Yeah. Well, who did they play in, and who did they lose to? And then we have the 7-2s and the 6-3s. You know, right now I happen to be, this team is not in our area, but I'm always curious to see about East St. Louis, the Flyers. Well, they finished 6-3, but they lost to Bergen Catholic out of New Jersey, Bishop Gorman out of Nevada. Today they lost to IMG Academy out of Bradenton, Florida.
So they're all know about IMG.
They're 6-3, but look at those three losses. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't want to be, you know, a 9-0 team or something going up against the 6-3
because they're playing teams that are built as football teams, not just, oh, hey, taking from your student body.
And they travel.
Even in a recruiting standpoint, you're talking about teams that are legitimately, like, purposely built for high school football,
absolutely,
for college prep.
It's great to just sit here and look at our computers and talk and see, again, what the records are and how each team did. And then the other thing I like to look at is once the pairings are released, 1A, 2A, 3A, the teams that have losses, who did they lose to? Mm-hmm. You know, was it a 3A school, a 4A school? You know, who did they lose to? So you'll have a 9-0 in each of these classes, but who did they, you know, who did they play against? And that's always interesting to see, you know, what the competition was for each of those teams. So it's just a great puzzle to put together.
You learn a lot about them, especially these teams in closed conferences like the VVC. Well, one of those teams is BHRA. They are 6-3 this year, and like Westville, you know, they have some interesting possible first-round matchups here. If we start looking at some of those teams, we talked about Westville. We talked to see who's 8-1, Pena, Wilmington, certainly within the region, but one that could be intriguing that we talked about might be down in between Toledo and Greenup. That is the Cumberland Pirates, who sit 8-1, and they're a conference winner in the Lincoln Prairie. Actually, they're not even the conference winner. They're the second team because ALAH won that conference. But might be an intriguing first-round matchup for the Blue Devils there.
Yeah, again, wait and see. But and Cumberland is a team, and as we were talking again off-air, that Vermilion Valley teams have a little bit of a history with, as Georgetown went there to play, I think, as we talked about, 2005. Right. And so they're not totally off the radar in terms of being a total unknown. So that is definitely a possible matchup.
We've got Coach Mark Dodd of the Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin Blue Devils on with us here at this time talking about their season. Coach Dodd, thanks for joining us here.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about your season. At the beginning of the season here, I think you're always working through things. I think as a coach, you know that sometimes the 3-4 weeks right before the season never is long enough to really figure out everything as you're going along here. But coming out of the gate this year, it was particularly tough. You had two of your toughest foes right at the beginning of the season. And it looked like at times maybe that the quarterback situation that you were working through maybe a little questionable. But I think as the season went on, it went to show that now you've got a little depth there with a couple guys that can play. Take us through that whole situation and what was going on with the team at the time.
Well, we just came back with having to replace 9 starters on offense and 8 on defense, and nothing builds experience like actually playing. So we made a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that were just lack of confidence from our players. We have good players. We have good athletes. We always have great kids who work really hard. But that lack of experience really, really showed at the beginning of the season. Plus, we played 2 very good opponents, which that's what they do. And, you know, it was partly playing really good competition and partly just really not being probably mentally prepared as much as anything.
How dangerous is this team knowing that you're going to be in that kind of the middle of the frame a little bit here? You're playing like a 9-0 team. Very dangerous at this point in the season. There's certain intricacies that come with the postseason with where you're at within that bracket that whenever you're playing as well as what you've played here from week 3 till now, you may get some favorable matchups for another deep run here. Is that at all what you're thinking, or is the game plan a little bit different than whenever you were coming into the postseason with an undefeated record?
You know, it really isn't that much different. We're playing our best at the right time. Mm-hmm. Our confidence is really, really high. We are what we are. We don't have a ton of great receivers. That's really not our game, even though it has been the last 3 or 4 years. So we just have to do it kind of old school, like I did at the beginning of my career. We're going to try to ground and pound and be as physical as we can up front and hopefully defend the heck out of you. So we're not in a terrible spot. It may be a little different than in years past when we've kind of, you know, cruised from start to finish. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of benefits in going through the struggles, too. And I think it hardens your players and definitely makes you focus on the things you don't do well, more so than when you're winning every game. So I look at it as kind of an advantage. Obviously, matchups are really important. The weather plays a part in playoff games. Right now, we're not 100% sure if we're going to go north or south. We're kind of always on that border of could go either way. So I stopped years ago worrying about seating and matchups and whatever else, and I just try to wait till it's announced and then go to work. So not a heck of a lot has changed in that way for us.
Bread and butter of this team is that run game and just an absolutely dominant defense. We've seen that coming through the season, and it's only gotten stronger as the season has went on here, as you've had a lot of guys step up. Liam Parrish, you have Isaac Cahill back there. We had a great performance the other night in a game heard on WITY with Mason Cunningham in there. You show that even the guys that maybe don't get a lot of varsity playing time can come in and reel off 7, 8, 10-yard, 12-yard runs without much resistance there. Just throwing guys through the line and just running some great routes out there. But it's really been the defense that has stepped up here and has really been the highlight here in the middle part of the season and holding teams to really no hope whatsoever in getting anything against you guys. Take us through kind of that process. Who's been standing up that maybe isn't getting the fame or the spotlight on them as much, but has been very pivotal to your success?
Well, our defense really starts in the middle, and our philosophy is that we're going to try to stop the run as strongly and physically as we can and try to make teams one-dimensional. And so that's kind of centers around our two defensive tackles, Connor Powell, who's been a 3-year starter and an all-conference player, along with Vince Lane, who's a junior who moved back in our community last year as a sophomore and got some playing time. And those two are really strong up front right there in the middle. And behind him, I have two really good inside linebackers in junior Lucas Boyd and senior Marcus Schreiner. And again, Marcus has been a 3-year starter for us. So that's really where we kind of hang our hat as far as the strength of our defense goes. And then two talented kids playing on the outside at linebacker that really we asked to do a lot with Liam Parrish and Mason Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Very athletic, good tacklers. They are the ones that teams always kind of try to put in conflict with these new style spread offenses. And they do a really good job of adjusting to the run in the pass.
We take a look at where you're at. Of course, five teams out of the conference are playoff eligible. And the bad thing about where we're at within location and within size of the school is that the unfortunate thing is sometimes they cannibalize each other in the first round, or they may have some of those short trips where you may end up seeing a conference foe in the playoffs, or whether it's first round or second round. We've seen that in the past. Just seeing where the state of football is and knowing that you're starting to lose some of those teams out there. The 1As are always struggling. There's depth issues. We've even seen here in recent years where you do have a couple games where a team maybe has played 11-man football, maybe got with the bare minimum of players, but then got to the end of the season where they're having to forfeit. You definitely don't like to see that, but a program like yours, program like guys down in Westville, where you guys continue to have a culture, a nature where next man up, you're going to get some playing time if you're willing to put in the time and put in the effort. And not only that, but success also breeds keeping a team together, building a team. Tell us kind of from what your perspective is as a guy that's been in this game a couple decades now and just kind of seeing where we're at as a whole with high school football culture. What's a good fix for this? Because there again, it's, I know from a broadcaster standpoint that goes and travels and sees a lot of different teams, but from a coaching standpoint, you got to hear some of that too. And of course, I'm sure that they come to you probably for a little bit of feedback on what that looks like.
Yeah, small schools, I think really it still goes back to that year and a half, that 2 years of COVID, mm-hmm. where, you know, kids just had to do other things, and they were pretty much forced to do other things. And I think we're still trying to rebound from that. I think everybody is, especially the small schools, of kids just finding other things to be interested in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see it in our junior program. You know, oftentimes they're struggling for numbers to put teams together, whereas 15 years ago, you had 18 freshmen coming in that have all played some sort of football before.
Right, right.
Now we're getting maybe 11 or 12 freshmen in, and six of them have never played before. Mm-hmm. And even though we really believe in our culture and we really work hard to keep our culture strong, it's still a struggle. And I know some small schools have really suffered trying to compete when they really just don't have the numbers to compete. And I think 8-man football has maybe helped those schools stay into football. Mm-hmm. But I think some people have kind of abandoned a little too quickly the 11-man game too.
Yeah. And, of course, with some of those schools, a little tougher to create co-ops, especially if you're up against something geographically like we are with being kind of in a border area where Indiana takes up so much of our geographical area. And you'd have some schools that maybe just don't offer as many potential bodies for these sports.
Correct. And it's happening at big schools, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the numbers of 4 and 5A schools. A lot of times, you know, you have a roster of 100 players, and now you're down to mid-40s.
Yeah.
With trying to play a JV schedule and a varsity schedule. And it kind of forces you to play kids up on the varsity maybe before they're really physically ready, which is also a danger because a young kid comes in and gets knocked around or gets injured. A lot of times they may quit and never come back. And that's also a shame.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we wrap up with you, Coach, we always enjoy hearing what the playoff festivities look like for the pairings. You got your team getting together for anything fun, either like a pizza party or anything like that, to hear where you're going or who you're going to be hosting here coming up in Week 10?
Well, we don't really talk about that too much until it's time. I think our team, we have a Friday breakfast that we meet every game day. You know, sometimes that's a really fun event. Sometimes it's, you know, a lot more serious.
Sure.
These kids have invested a big part of their lives into the football program. So we will basically ask our seniors what they want to do, and we can usually put it together pretty fast. But we don't really make a huge spectacle out of the thing. It's really more of a coach's thing at that point for us is find out your opponent, contact them, talk about trading film, research as much as we can, and get to work even starting Saturday night.
Not going to lie, as a traditionalist, I love that. No flair, act like you've been there before, and just go about your business. I love it.
This worked for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. If it isn't broke, definitely don't fix it. Coach, I appreciate the time that you spent with us here this evening. All the best to you and your team the rest of the season. Hope we'll see you out there, and let's go get them.
Appreciate it. Hey, go Blue.
Coach Mark Dodd, BHRA Blue Devils. When we return on the IHSA Playoff Pairing Show, Cameron Lee of the Oakwood Comets joins us. Playoff pairings coming up shortly here on WITY.
This is Fifi the Cat from Leto's Hardware. The store is stocked with great tools to pick up what falls down, like rakes, scoops, and bags for falling leaves, and shears and saws for branches. Squirrel away fallen nuts with our easy-to-use nut gatherers. I haven't been able to catch a squirrel, but you can catch everything you need for fall at Leto's Hardware in Westville. Keep up with my weekly deals on Facebook. Leto's Hardware, where we do it best.
If you hit someone on the field of play, you are a boss. If you hit someone in downtown traffic, it's a loss. Collisions belong on the football field, not on the road. When accidents happen, you need coverage you can count on. As your local State Farm agent, Ross Webb, makes auto insurance simple, affordable, and built just for you. If insurance has you at a loss, call Ross and save money with great coverage like a boss. Call 217-443-1500 and listen to WITY for Ross's Boss of the Week for distinguished play on the gridiron. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now your WITY Skywatch weather. I'm meteorologist James Covington. A few isolated showers tonight, cloudy with a low near 45, east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Becoming sunny, breezy, and mild for every Sunday, high around 64, east winds 10 to 20. Sunday night, mostly clear, a bit cooler, low near 41. Having a look at Monday, mostly sunny, breezy, and less humid, highs in the lower 60s. You are listening to Ileana's Best Choice, WITY.
Welcome back to the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show, a special presentation of WITY Sports. Chad Baker, Joe Anglim with you. And at this time, we've got the coach of the Oakwood Comets on the hotline with Oakwood coach Cameron Lee, who's been building something very special over here on the west side of the county with the Comets. They are a playoff-bound team for the second year in a row, and a privilege to have Coach Lee on the line with us. Coach, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the overall process of what you've built here. You've been in tow over there at Oakwood for a couple years now, just incrementally getting better there. And, of course, along with that is building a culture. And you have kind of a unique setting over there, lots of family members involved. Not to say like it's a nepotism thing, but it's very much like a family environment whenever you go over there. You see a game, it's the atmosphere feels a little bit different. It's a little tighter knit. It doesn't necessarily always always feel like everybody's going to war, but it feels like the camaraderie is there, and it's a special atmosphere that you've built there. Take us through what that's been like building that culture and how that's been a hallmark for success for this program.
Yeah, Oakwood's always been my home, obviously, born and raised, and, you know, went to school here. Both my parents worked in the school as I grew up and went there myself, brought my brother on to help do some of the coaching. And that sort of camaraderie, that family element, that brotherhood that you sort of speak to is something that I've always felt was inherent in our community and something that always made it feel so special. You know, I had friends from college or other towns who they had good experiences in their high school but didn't seem to have the same type of experience that I had. And so that was something that was always really important to me and something that made me want to come back and be a part of it. So, you know, I try to apply that same sort of stuff to my kids and to my team and to my program to this day. We're all about the family element, the community element. We want it to be unlike all these other towns. We want to be involved, and I would like seeing legacy players and people that come back and people that stay in the community and stay invested. So it's really important to us and what we're trying to build.
Another important element to this that I think we've maybe overstated over the last couple of years is your own personal player success. Of course, going through college, making it into the NFL for your time there and seeing what that process looks like to build that type of success and have that type of plan. You have a firsthand knowledge of what that looks like that you can give to your players. That, I'm sure, has given you a mystique, if you will, or an ability to have the players hone in on what you're saying and in hopes of building their own success, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think that definitely plays a part in some capacity. I think it's really important for a coach to be able to reach their players, not just, you know, bark orders or call plays, but to really reach them on a human level. And I think having the experience that I've had and some of the stuff that I've been through, I hope that it at least makes me a touch more relatable, or at least, like, if I tell a kid or a player of mine, like, this is the way we do things and this is why we do it, hopefully I don't get those eye rolls as if, hey, I don't believe you. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want them to at least see that maybe there's a little bit of credibility. And I think it's important that I'm not just that experience that I've had playing in Division I, playing in the NFL. Like, that's great. But I think it's important that I came from Oakwood, that I came from a small school, and that I can show you the path to how this worked for me, and hopefully it applies to some of our players. But no, I think it's important to hopefully have that sort of credibility, and everyone has had a coach in the past at some point where they've, like, told you to do something and you kind of roll your eyes, like, you know, where did this come from or why do you do it? And I'm sure I probably get that look to some extent, but I hope that everything that we're saying and we're preaching and we're trying to make them understand that they see the merits of it and know that we have nothing but the best of intentions.
It's so tough nowadays, and I talked with Coach Dodd about this too, with not only the struggles with 1A, 2A football, I mean, and it all goes up into the upper classes too, with you know, kids nowadays, they've got more sports they can partake in, they've got more activities they can partake in, there's apathy out there at the teenage level, and let's face it, there's just not as many youth that are participating in sports as a whole nowadays. It is a little bit of a struggle out there, and so to build a culture that is welcoming and where everybody can kind of contribute, it is a little tougher than, let's say, what it was even 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Correct.
You have built, there again, a winning culture in a very short amount of time. The difference between last year's team and this year's team, and of course you had some playmakers last year on that team. It was a playoff team for you. This year, though, it feels different. It feels like there was more than just a one step up this year with the way that your team is going out there and executing. Everybody has ran into the buzzsaw that is Westville, but that game aside, you have had some pretty impressive performances this year. Take us through what those successes look like and how that has breed further success and built on what you're trying to get done there.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing this year as far as maybe taking not just one step, but maybe hopefully two or three steps forward is the development of our guys and sort of, I think it's the success breeding success, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the kids have come into the program, my first couple years in the program, there's really not a precedent for doing the things the way that we want to do them. So, you know, kids come in and there's really no baseline as far as what our expectations are, what our standards are, even things like what the offense is, what the verbiage is, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into that, and you got to get everyone on the same page and everyone speaking the same language and kind of snapping in the right direction, the same direction. the first couple of years of the program, no matter how excited people were to work hard and do the things that we said, there just wasn't that foundation. And I think it probably took 2 or 3 years to build a little bit of that foundation, to find our way to sneak into the playoffs. And now it's like, okay, the foundation is set. You know, we didn't come into this offseason or this summer and all of a sudden have to teach a new playbook. We didn't have to really do anything. These concepts are ingrained in our kids' heads, and their level of football acumen has grown, and they're retaining more and more information, and they're physically more capable because they've been in the weight room. So it's just like, you don't have to start at square one again. And I think that's been the biggest thing, is that coming into this, we knew we had talented kids. The question was going to be, can we pick up from the season that we had before, or do we have to go back and start over? And I don't really feel like we've had to start over.
Right. Take us through the season here. Of course, you could pick a lot of games. The majority of the season has been chalk for the VVC, as it is just about every year. I mean, you do have some exceptions to the rule here, but is there a particular game or a turning point in the season where you felt like, man, this team's got that something here that come playoff time might be the difference maker in getting us a victory and getting into week 11?
It's funny because I'm going to go all the way back to week one, and the outcome is not nearly as exciting. Probably it's not even the right outcome, to be honest. We go back and we beat Moments in double overtime, and you look at it now and you're like, well, hey, they don't have their record that is would say they're on par with you, and yet so why are you so happy that that game was won and it went to double overtime? The thing that I took away from that matchup was with our team's ability to be resilient and to overcome adversity, to step up in tough situations, and to win tough football games. I think we take for granted how hard it is to win football games, especially from an outsider's perspective. You know, people look at spot scores. They see the final score, but they don't see the game, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And I think that so often we just judge football based on, you know, the outcome, and it's so much more than that. And I guess the point I would make is that in the past, I don't know that this team would win that game where you felt like you had control of it all the way through, and then there's a couple bad breaks here or there, and all of a sudden you're in a spot that you didn't expect to be in, and you're on the road, and it's week one, and you're a young team, and all of a sudden you're going to overtime, and you're going to double overtime. I've seen versions of the Oakland Comets that would lose that game, and this version didn't. And like I said, we should have won by a lot more. I believe we should have won by a lot more. We didn't play our best football by any means. But the fact that we found a way to win that game told me a lot about the group that we had on our hands.
Well, and sometimes it's whenever you put yourselves in that situation, you build that resilience. And sometimes you get a better feeling after a close game than maybe a game where you win by 3 or 4 scores. And because I think you play tough all the way through, coaches love that anyway. Whenever you put in the full 48, you don't have the guys that are like, oh, hey, you know what? We've got this game in hand. Can we wrap this up? You know, you want to make sure that, because when it comes playoff time, you may be in a situation where you may be fighting for your life. You may be fighting for your season at that point.
I agree 100%. And I think that's kind of one of the things that is a misunderstanding of high school football, is that so often at these games, at this level, games are like blowouts. We absolutely destroyed this team, or we absolutely got destroyed. And there seems to be very little in between. And I think that's for a number of reasons. But from a football coach's perspective, winning close games, to me, that's a lost art, or something that is often missed, is how do you win those tight games? How do you find your advantage? What can you do to get over the hump? And so I just don't think a lot of teams, you don't see that a lot. You know, like you mentioned, a lot of it in the conference, it goes chalk, it's blowouts, and even good teams beat everyone. It feels like sometimes the scores get away from them. But I think it's impressive when you can win close games and find ways to do that.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up with you, Coach, any plans for the evening here as far as playoff pairings? Do you get your team together? Or are you guys kind of huddling around? Or do you allow the players to just kind of do their own thing? Or how does that work over there?
It's funny because, you know, we're, like you said, kind of an up-and-coming program. We're figuring out traditions on the fly. You know, I'm sure there are teams that have done this for 10 or 15 straight seasons, and they've got this established thing, and we all go here, and these people chip in and do this. We don't really have that yet. We're figuring that out as we go. You know, it's exciting to know weeks in advance that you're even going to be in the playoffs. So that's pretty cool. For us, this season, we are going to have the team together at the school and watch the pairing show and see our matchup and kind of do that together. Maybe that a tradition will evolve in the future. But for the time being, that's what we're doing, and hopefully we can do it more and more down the road.
Sounds like a game plan. And there again, the Oakwood Comets coming into the playoffs second year in a row, and definitely on a roll here as they've had a couple nice winning streaks this season. Had the tough games in the middle, but played competitively in those. They're really, really just one bad half of football this year, Coach. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that would be like, hey, I can deal with that. So,
yeah, of course.
I appreciate your time spending with us here. We'll let you get back to your team, and all the best to you in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll see you out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Coach Cameron Lee of the Oakwood Comets. Joe, right there after that win last night with BHRA, presents them in a situation where they could get a home game. They could get a road game here. We find them in a situation with 7-2. Other 7-2 teams right now: Rushville Industry, Tuscola, GCMS, Brown County, which would be a hike, Chicago Crane in there, which had their game today. But then you see teetering back the other way. There's a 7-2 Hayworth team in there, 7-2 Princeville. Cesar Valier would have to come here. They would be a 6-3, Cesar Valier Waltonville. If you have a situation where you teeter 8-1, then Clifton Central becomes a possibility. Conference foe there, which was the second team in the VVC this year. So some familiarity, some not so crazy trips, but Oakwood with that win last night over BHRA really helped themselves.
Absolutely. And you know, you were talking about who might play who and who, you know, trips that teams might make, and I had a flashback moment there thinking of just years gone by where, you know, the technology has changed so much. I mean, 20-some years ago, you know, somebody would get, you know, be getting in their car tonight and driving and meeting a coach halfway exchange, you know, Super 8 millimeter black and white film, you know, and that's how you would get, you know, your scouting report. And, of course, the technology has all changed, and now you can download things and just exchange games that way. But it's all changed over the years, but it's one thing that hasn't changed, and I think you can probably sense it in my voice.
You can get it all on your phone. Phone call, you can do a FaceTime. Yeah, it's a lot more personal now.
Right. But the excitement, you know, just you can hear it in the tone of the voices from the coaches. And of course, you can probably sense it from my chair here in the studio. It's just a great time. And so I just can't wait to see who is going to play who.
It's exciting. We've got the television screens up in here. We've got our computer screens up. We've got notes. You like me. Very extensive. I saw that notebook earlier, you know, so you've got so many things. We've got all the teams here. We've 5 from the VVC, 4 from the Illini Prairie, 5 from the Lincoln Prairie, 4 from the Little Illini. You have the 6 teams up at the top of the Big 12 that are playoff eligible. You have some 8-man action there, which I haven't seen anything float in for 8-man yet. Usually that's separate. But we'll see how that shakes out. Either way, we will get them all posted late night tonight. So if you miss something during our presentation, we will have not only the show being played back for you, we'll have it on demand maybe about an hour after we are done here this evening. But then we will have the listings posted online tonight. And then, of course, the real fun happens, me versus the IHSA, the battle to see who gets all the start times and the dates. It's a little something I like to do. There's no money on the line. It's just simple fun. And I will be up late tonight to see, scrambling the internet to see who's got those dates and times out there. And if you want to send them directly to me, chat@WITYradio.com, by all means, make my job and life easier. I have a kid.
right. Yeah.
I need sleep. It would be a great opportunity. And of course, you can also tag me in on our X account. Of course, WITY Sports there. It's going to be fun. So let's dive into it. We've got ABC News coming up here just momentarily. And then in hour number two, we will dive into the IHSA playoff pairings. And at least we will scour the 1A through 3A, 4A. We may dive in a little bit beyond that, but that's all coming up here on WITY 980 AM 99.5 FM, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app.
NBC News. I'm Dave Packer. While traveling on Air Force One, President Trump said today that he plans to hike tariffs on imports of Canadian goods by an extra 10% because of an anti-tariff television ad aired by the province of Ontario.
We have a deal right now that's very good for us. Any deal that would have been made would have been better for them than the one they have right now.
That ad featured old footage of former President Ronald Reagan criticizing the use of tariffs, Trump calling that actual footage from one of Reagan's radio addresses a fraud. President Trump to meet in the coming week with China's President Xi. What does he hope to come away with?
A complete deal. I want our farmers to be taken care of, and he wants things also. We're going to be talking about fentanyl, of course. You know, fentanyl is killing a lot of people. A lot of people. It comes from China.
A shooting at a downtown Austin library. Assistant Police Chief Lee Rogers says it happened just after noon today.
One suspect who was initially on scene but fled the scene prior to the arrival of officers. With coordination between some on-scene assets and officers in the field, we were able to very recently take a suspect into custody.
And an investigation into a mass shooting that took place at a house party early this morning. ABC's Mike DeBusky has more.
Police in Maxton, North Carolina were already responding to reports of a loud music violation when suddenly calls came in reporting multiple people had been shot at the scene. A 49-year-old and a 16-year-old are now confirmed dead. In total, more than a dozen people were shot, with many of them still in the hospital. The sheriff's department says there's no current threat to the community.
Police say at least 150 people took off running once the shooting began. Melissa has become a Category 1 hurricane, expected to intensify over the weekend and ramping up to at least a Cat 4 by the time it makes landfall over Jamaica on Tuesday morning. You're listening to ABC News.
Football season is heating up on Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So keep the season rolling by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Plus, the app for Prize Picks is really simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less in their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. Prize Picks is also available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Most importantly, they don't play about your money. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today, use code SUNDAY, and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
The government shutdown now in its 25th day as Republican and Democratic lawmakers remain locked in a stalemate over a funding bill. This week, more than 500,000 federal workers missed their first full paycheck. Meanwhile, the Pentagon confirms a private donor has given $130 million to help pay troops during the shutdown. President Trump didn't name the donor, only calling him a patriot and a friend. The New York Times today reporting it was billionaire Timothy Mellon, who's a financial supporter of President Trump. Two moments of silence were held today in Lewiston, Maine, to remember two shootings exactly 2 years ago. A gunman first entered a bowling alley and then a restaurant with a semi-automatic rifle, killing 18 people and wounding 13 others. The shooter fled and died after he shot himself a short while later. Lewiston resident Sherry Monolith, one of the memorials she attended.
Directly affected, the families, the survivors, they're still hurting.
And Kyle Curtis survived the shooting at a memorial this weekend. He communicated through a sign interpreter.
Supporting each other. We have emotions. We laugh. We have fun. Enjoy each other. We understand each other. Lots of hugs. It's just wonderful.
And celebrating the life of June Lockhart, the actress who became a mother figure for generations of television viewers. Whether at home in Lassie or up in the stratosphere and lost in space has died. She was 100. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This week at Macy's, it's the best time to save on fall styles at our biggest fall sale. Find the classic brown boots and preppy Mary jeans that everyone's wearing. Luxurious cashmere and wool sweaters. Even better, it's our lowest prices of the season on diamond jewelry, now 50 to 75% off, over half off. Don't miss your chance to save big on the looks you need now at Macy's biggest fall sale today. Savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back.
playoff pairing show 2025 IHSA here on WITY. Joe Anglum, Chad Baker back with you. Let's fire it away, Joe. We've got 1A North Stockton taking on Galena. We got Princeville and Hayworth. Clifton Central will take on Knoxville in their opening round matchup. Another team that we know very well from their years in the VVC, Dwight. They will be traveling to take on Rushville. Annawan Weathersford will host Stark County. Those are perennial powerhouses. We see them a lot this time of year. Crane will host Deer Creek Mackinac. DMAC coming in there on the road going up to Chicago. Lena Winslow hosting Forreston. GCMS hosts Ottawa Marquette. That is the North bracket. South bracket, Calhoun will host Villa Grove. So Villa Grove making the long trip all the way across the state. Greenfield Northwestern will host Cesar Vallier Waltonville. Casey Westfield will see an old little Illini foe from years back, Red Hill. They will get together and renew their rivalry there. Tuscola will host Nokomis. Camp Point Central, Winchester West Central getting together in the first round. Brown County hosts Athens. DuPont will be hosting Salt Fork. Salt Fork making a very similar trip to what Westville made last year. Westville had that pleasure of going to Chester a year ago. Salt Fork now going to the south tip of the Metro East to take on DuPont. And the Oakwood Comets hosting Carrollton, perennial powerhouse there. Your thoughts? Give me a 30-second synopsis of what you see there so far.
Well, DuPont, I think, is an interesting team because they have quite an extensive playoff history. But if you remember correctly, just in the very near future, or very near past, rather, they played eight-man football for a couple of seasons because their numbers were down, and they have since, of course, rebounded, and they finished the season 8-1, and they're hosting Salt Fork at 5-4. But DuPont, one of those teams that was up and down in terms of numbers of players and, of course, was forced to play eight-man football for a couple of years. Oakwood, again, home 7-2 against Carrollton, again, another team that has an extensive playoff history. So a couple of good matchups there.
Yeah, and there again, you know, some I won't call them blue chipper programs, but, you know, I guess if you have a term in high school football, some perennial powerhouses there. We'll go on to 2A to try to keep up with the folks at IHSA. Rock Ridge in the north hosting Illini West. Chicago Richards welcomes in Downs Tri-Valley. Seneca will entertain Riverdale in Week 10. Wilmington welcomes in West Hancock. El Paso Gridley has Chicago Marshall, probably known more for their basketball history there. Newman Central Catholic hosting Ridgeview Lexington. That is not Newman, Illinois, just to put it out there for folks that are here locally. I don't have a Central Catholic school that you know about.
Sterling.
Or don't know about.
Sterling
Newman Catholic. And then, of course, Ridgeview Lexington, a team that Salt Fork saw a few years ago in the playoffs. Farmington hosting Eastland Pearl City Co-op. Aurora Christian and Erie Prophetstown. If I remember, Erie Prophetstown, I think, had an eight-man for a short time there.
I believe so,
yeah,
yes.
So they're back in it here. On the south bracket, and there again to divide a little bit more here, Johnson City hosting West Glen. Chester will host Moroa Forsyth, so it's good to see somebody else making that long trip down.
Right.
So, Flora will entertain Nashville. Pena will entertain BHRA. We talked a little bit about that in pregame, or here, or the first hour of the show, about that possibly being a matchup there. The Panthers of Pena hosting the BHRA Blue Devils. Westville will entertain the Shelbyville Rams. That should be fun. DuCoin will host Carlinville. ALAH takes on Marshall, and Cumberland will get Sullivan first round in 2A, or the 2A playoffs here. Of course, our focus primarily on the south side of this bracket here, Joe. We talked about BHRA Pena. We talked about Shelbyville and Westville kind of being all in there. The way it shakes out, we knew BHRA was going to be on road. We knew Westville was going to be at home.
And that's exactly how it turned out. And, of course, it's always nice to play at home. The kids get to just, you know, sleep in their own beds, go through their normal routine. There's no travel, no getting up early to catch a bus to go, you know, across the state and play a foe. And I think also, and you may correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in terms of start time, I think the host school does have the final say-so as to what time games will play or will kick off, rather. And so, of course, there's always some negotiation going on there. But I think the home team does get the final say-so in terms of start time. So
this is where I put out my disclaimer for every year. It's like, hey, think of us football fans out there. If you've got a couple of games that are pretty close, I know they're rushing to try to get that, a time stamp Saturday, 2 p.m. And, of course, you know, the college fans are just like, if you can make it to where you can have a 1 o'clock kickoff and maybe a 5 o'clock kickoff with somebody else and you can work that out, I tell you, you make a lot of fans locally happy or regionally happy, because then they can catch two games. I've done it before. It's fun. Or even if you're able to get a Friday night, I know it's going to be Halloween, you're going to have some ghouls in the crowd. 7 p.m. Friday night's traditional. I think a scenario where you really kind of plan these things out in that first weekend there, and IHSA can certainly, if they really wanted to, help orchestrate some of those things. But, yeah, I see a scenario here where some of these matchups aren't so far apart that you're not going to start seeing maybe some folks gravitate back to Friday night, especially on that first weekend. You figure you just get it done, get it over with. The kids want to get out of school, and they've got like 9 billion days off during the school year anyway. So what's another afternoon to have a little parade in the hallway and to send them off a
send
little
them
early?
Off. Yeah, and we always used to try to do that when I was in education, to send whether it was the cross-country team or whatever, the track team or the football team, you know, try to give them a nice send-off. You know, but I was going to say, I have done what you had just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I've done the doubleheader where I went to one game, it finished, got in the car, drove to another game, and caught a doubleheader. So
we're not that far removed from the generations that still remember Wednesday night playoff games.
Absolutely.
And then Sunday afternoon. So, you know, you ended up playing four games within a matter of, 21 days?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, you would finish on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then the playoffs were announced Saturday, and then you had that first playoff game Wednesday, and then again on Saturday, and then
Saturday
every Saturday
Sunday,
after
yeah.
that, you know. So it's nice to be in the chair where we have those memories, and we can talk about days gone by and the changes.
Yeah.
As I mentioned a moment ago, with, you know, having to drive and meet a coach halfway and exchange 8mm film, for instance. You know,
somewhere out there, there's 20-year-old listeners in our crowd that's using the old lady and old man voice. Well, back in my day,
they're like, 8mm film? What? What's that?
Back in my day, we used to play two playoff games in 5 days. So.
Well, hey, lean back a little more on your rocking chair there, will you? Get a nice little rock going there.
Okay? So we see all of our Vermilion Valley teams taken care of here thus far. We're going to have 3A's released here shortly, which will, of course, focus on Illini Prairie. We'll also have all of our 1A teams in Lincoln Prairie taken care of here. And so there again, I think, you know, regionally, when we come back to it, we'll have some of these scenarios where we could placate, where if it works out, you might be able to see some of those Friday night games. Again, I've never been to I've only been, I think, once to a Saturday evening game, but and I had to drive a little farther for it. But I think if you're within 2 hours and you've got a game that ends at 3 and you have a 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock kickoff, you know, go and get dinner on the way there, I think you could definitely make it happen. Let's dive into 3A as they reel this off. The North Bracket, Richmond Burton hosting North Boone. Noble Rauner will host Aurora Central Catholic. Bloomington Central Catholic gets Princeton. We see Bloomington Central Catholic, the 3A conference winner there in the Illini Prairie. Monmouth Roseville will welcome in Mantino. That was a team that was on a couple of folks' schedules here this year. Byron will host Oregon. Johnsburg hosts Pecatonica. You have Bishop Mack entertaining Hersher. That's a little bit more of a shorter travel
that's close.
For both
yeah.
of those.
Very close. Yeah.
Hope Academy will host IC Catholic. So,
and I believe that's Elmhurst, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's
so.
Elmhurst. Huh?
So you've got Bishop Mack in there hosting Hersher. You've got, where was the other one at? I just lost a Bloomington Central Catholic hosting Princeton. So Bloomington CC will go up North Central Catholic, separating from the rest of those Illini Prairie teams, which now will move to the southern half of the bracket here. We'll allow the folks on our television screen to get caught up here. That's they're doing such a great job doing the, I don't know that they need the visual. I think they focus more on the bracket whenever you watch the TV than the panel of the studio, but a great job by those guys. You got Edgy Tim in there, Steve Susi, Marshall Harris. Let's go to the south end. Williamsville, the one seed in the south, will host Hillsboro, the Hilltoppers making the trip. That's not a far trip for them either. Porta will host Fairfield, so Fairfield heading up to not getting one in the rail yard, at least not in week 10. They'll travel to Petersburg for that one. Unity welcomes in Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel going away from their friendly confines of the Snake Pit to come up to take on the Rockets. Monticello will host Paris. Not a bad trip for Paris there. They could have done a lot worse. And, of course, the Sages of Monticello, that presents itself a great atmosphere over there. Vandalia will host Christopher Ziegler Royalton, CZR. ZRC, there's one of those co-ops that shuffle the letters here and have hosts for, just depends on who's hosting is who, what letters first. Olympia welcomes in Greenville. You have Benton hosting St. Joe Ogden. Tough draw for St. Joe, the big trip south, but they struggled this season to be able to get things going in the right direction, and so the Spartans will take on the Rangers downstate, down south of Mount Vernon. And West Frankfort will host the Shells of Roxana, the only high school in Illinois to have a pre-corporate symbol as their logo because of Shell Oil.
Did not know that.
Yes.
See,
yes.
I learned something today.
So Roxana and East Alton Wood River, both in the bevy and the heart of the oil industry right there in the Metro East. You have the Shells and the Oilers. I don't think they're rivals because I think Roxana is a 3A. East Alton Wood River would tend to be 1A, 2A. But I've actually called a game at East Alton Wood River. Roxana used to be a mainstay on Effingham's schedule many years and was a week two matchup for most of the 80s and 90s there. But yellow and red, you know, or gold and red, because of the Shell refinery down there. I don't know if Shell still does the refinery or not. But
well, I'm just learning all kinds of stuff.
I tell this you, you know, it's those little tidbits like that that is why you want to definitely tune into what we're doing here. So we've got 4A coming up, but we have a 4A school here that we're focusing on. We do have some in the Little Illini. We do have some in the Big 12. But I tell you what, we are up against Sports World. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll dive in and we'll catch up with 4A and then beyond. And then we'll sort it all out for you for all the local teams when the IHSA Playoff Pairing Show continues on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app.
I'm John Ryder. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson will miss his third straight game with a hamstring injury. Tyler Huntley will get the start for Baltimore when they host Chicago tomorrow. To week 9 in college football and a Heisman candidate getting it done late in Nashville.
Ball's at the 1. Caught up at 10. Fourth quarter. There's the snap. It's a keeper for Diego Pavia. Runs toward the right.
There's Diego's touchdown.
Touchdown. Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia. A must-have moment. It's the magician. Diego Pavia saved that kid a seat in New York City.
Andrew Allegretto with the call on Learfield. Now is the go-ahead touchdown with under 2 minutes to play as 10th-ranked Vanderbilt gets past number 15 Missouri 17-10. And tough news for Mizzou. Quarterback Bo Perbula carted off the field with a left leg injury in the third quarter. Might be a broken leg. Washington drills number 23 Illinois 42-25 in Seattle. Damon Williams with four touchdown passes for the Huskies. Fourth-ranked Alabama rallies for a 29-22 win at South Carolina. Jeremy Bernard with a go-ahead 25-yard touchdown run with 34 seconds left. The Tide have won seven in a row. They're 5-0 in the SEC. North Carolina at home falls to number 16 Virginia 17-16 at overtime. Tar Heels failing on a game-winning two-point conversion. Head coach Bill Belichick.
We just keep getting better. It's just little incremental stuff. It's, you know, everybody doing 4 or 5% better times however many people, is, that makes a difference.
North Carolina drops to 2-5. They're 0-3 in the ACC. Number 8 Ole Miss goes into Norman and defeats number 13 Oklahoma 34-26. Memphis over South Florida 34-31.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal. Book telehealth if she feels.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
As a grandfather, you know what it takes to make special memories with your grandkids.
Grandpa, look what I can do.
But did you know that 1 in 8 men will get prostate cancer? The good news is that regular screenings can detect cancer early when it's easier to treat. Learn which screenings are right for you and schedule an appointment at OSF Healthcare. Because keeping track of your health will allow you to keep spoiling those little ones before sending them home. Visit osfhealthcare.org/get screened.
Juhas Diagnostics is your new Napa heavy-duty truck care center. But that's not all. Lawnmowers? Yes. Golf carts? Absolutely. Small engines? Why not? And they will pick it up for a small fee. The team at Juhas Diagnostics want their clients driving away safer than when they brought their transportation to them. Ask about their free 15-minute auto consultation to diagnose your vehicle. Call on the direct line at 217-213-6032 or 24/7 on the mobile at 217-260-3339. Juhas Diagnostics, east of I-74, exit 210 between Danville and Oakwood.
Now your WITY Skywatch weather. I'm meteorologist James Covington. A few isolated showers tonight, cloudy with a low near 45. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Becoming sunny, breezy and mild for every Sunday, high around 64. East winds 10 to 20. Sunday night, mostly clear, a bit cooler, low near 41. Having a look at Monday, mostly sunny, breezy and less humid, highs in the lower 60s. You're listening to Ileana's Best Choice, WITY.
Welcome back to the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show, WITY Sports Special Presentation on WITY with Joe Anglin, Chad Baker here, diving into the 4A North, Montini and Lombard hosting Urban Prep Bronzeville. Peoria Notre Dame making a long trip up north. They're going to go to Marengo there, Joe.
Long trip for them. And, of course, Peoria Notre Dame, I think, is a team that started off 0-2, won their next seven games, including a victory over Danville. Again, finished 7-2, but by luck of the draw, they have to make the long trip up to the Northwest and play Marengo.
They are the runt of the Big 12 with all those 5A, 6A, 7A schools in there. So they're, again, kind of a mixed bag, similar to Little Illini Conference. We can dive into that talk here in just a little bit. Dixon will host Woodstock North. Coal City entertains Sterling. Morris hosts Woodstock. Metamora entertains South Shore. You have Macomb and Hillcrest, Geneseo and Rochelle, which a couple of heritage legendary programs there getting together. In the south part of the 4A bracket, Richland County, Alney will host Jacksonville. You have Centralia hosting Cahokia in an old South 7 matchup there. I don't believe Cahokia's part of the South. Maybe they still are. I don't know. It's been a while, and they've shaken up that that conference down there. Breeze Central hosts Columbia. Freeburg hosting Highland. Carterville entertains Alton Marquette. Quincy Notre Dame hosting Sacred Heart Griffin. It's very, very rare you see Sacred Heart Griffin getting a road game in the first round of the playoffs, but there it is. And they're taking that Quincy Notre Dame date off for at the behest of a lot of teams that could have had a longer trip.
Absolutely.
Rochester will host Taylorville. Not a long trip for either for Taylorville. They're just up the road. It's just one of the great high school atmospheres in definitely downstate there at Rochester. And Mount Zion will host Waterloo in the 4A playoffs. So that's kind of where we sit with 4A. We see Peoria Notre Dame come off the board. Alney, which is the big team out of the Little Illini, and was the conference winner here this year, drawing Jacksonville in that 1-16 matchup. And then if they get past there, then they run into a South 7 buzzsaw, either Centralia or Cahokia, which both those schools a little bit bigger than Alney. Both those schools seeing declining enrollment, but still quite a bit bigger than Alney. I think Alney probably squeaks in that 4A level. Since they consolidated what used to be Noble, West Richland, and Alney to just create a Richland County school, they've definitely boosted their enrollment. So there again, I think, you know, we it's hard for us, especially not being there to look every week. We see it a little bit more with Big 12, with Danville being involved, but these conferences that, you know, have a 2-3 class separation between the team, the smallest team and the biggest team, hard to get a read beyond the talent, to just because, you know, if a 1A team does really good and they maybe their 3A and 4As are bad, or maybe it's vice versa. You know, the 4As in there, well, maybe you don't really get a good read on them because they're beating up on 1A teams.
You know, and we see that the conference makeup is very important, and we see it, you know, all throughout the state of Illinois, conferences which have 1A and 2A and maybe a 3A school mixed in there. And it wasn't that long ago, I think, that even here in Vermilion County, we had a couple of schools that made playoffs at the 3A level, but they were playing in the old Illini Central Conference, and before that, the Wasika Conference in the old days, you know, et cetera. So, and it's so important to know, you know, who you play, because as we've talked every year, you know, Illinois is a state where you have to qualify for the playoffs. You know, you don't just get to go. It's the only sport in Illinois high school athletics that a team has to qualify for and doesn't get to automatically be a part of the postseason. So consequently, you know, the makeup of conferences, everybody's trying to, you know, stay within their own classification, or maybe even down a school or two, to make sure that you get enough wins, enough playoff points to be able to qualify for the playoffs.
We've got, while we have an opportunity here before they release 5A brackets, we do want to let our 8-man fans know that your Milford Cisna Park Bearcats will be hosting, or will be taking on in the first round, Amboy. So they will be traveling on the road. That's a 5-12. Milford Cisna Park getting a 12 seed there. So we will try to see what we can do to get a bracket here before it's said and done, but I did see that pop up here. I'm not a paywall guy, so.
Right. Do we know, 8-man football, I'm not sure. Do we know how many teams qualify for the playoffs?
I believe it's a 16-team bracket.
Okay.
So, I think it's a sweet 16, I believe.
Okay.
You know, just based on how many teams, not everybody makes it, so. They take the 16 best and go. So, because I think there's four conferences, if I remember.
Yeah, there's like an east, eastern, north, and all that.
There's east, a north, a northeast. Yeah. So let's dive into 5A with the folks at IHSA here. We've got Prairie Ridge hosting Vernon Hills. Of course, there again, I'm going to get a little less farther away from the knowledge on these here. Morgan Park will host St. Francis. I believe that may be Wheaton San Francis.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Chicago Ag Science, go Aggies, hosting King, which they're again typically probably better known as a basketball school, but in recent years has had a fairly strong football program. Corliss will host Lakeview, Belvedere North, Noble Bulls charter there getting together. Caneland will host is at Lakes. My printer definitely is not doing me any favors here tonight either. Wakanda hosting St. Patrick and Cary Grove, entertaining Sycamore. Of course, most of those there in the Chicagoland area. Going to the south, you've got Washington and Normal U-High in that first round bracket there. That's a 1-16 matchup. Muhammad Seymour draws Marion. Marion making the long trip up from the South 7 and the most extreme part, southern part of the South 7 Conference to take on the Bulldogs. Kankakee hosts Lamont. It's Providence entertaining Springfield. Oak Forest will host Champaign Centennial. Bloomington entertains Muscoota, Peoria, and MacArthur out of Decatur, and Morton and Thornton Fractional North getting together in 5A. So Peoria and Decatur, MacArthur, Bloomington, and Muscoota there for home games here in the area. Centennial on the road to go to Oak Forest for those teams here locally. And you see that, which, you know, Centennial, I think they're, again, they play the season typically 6A. They get bumped down to a 5A here. That's one of the first bumps that we see based on enrollment. Usually it's not a fine science, but if you're on the cusp and you can kind of go either way, you don't see, I mean, they're getting better about having that kind of frame together here, but we see Centennial there on the bubble. They go into it as a big 5A.
And as we look at the bracket, I think there's four Big 12 teams in this bottom half of the 5A bracket with Centennial, Bloomington, Peoria, MacArthur, so friendly teams or familiar teams all there in the bottom half of that 5A South bracket.
Well, and MacArthur no longer there in the Big 12.
That's right.
They
that's
are
right.
a former Big 12 team, though, back
that's
in
right,
years.
Right. I forgot about that.
Back in the Matt Toon days, but you see that whenever they started doing those conference shifts geographically, they got left out. And I think they went – I don't know where they're at now. Let me take a quick dive here.
That's right, but for the longest time they were in the Big 12.
So MacArthur is in the Central State 8 East.
That's it. Yep.
Which, if we take a look, as doesn't do them a whole lot of favors here. Chatham, Glenwood, Rochester, MacArthur, Normal, U-High, Lincoln, Eisenhower. Four of those six teams obviously going. Lincoln just had their coach resign, so. That kind of gives you a little bit of an idea there of kind of how that conference is stacked. And it's with six teams, you get some out-of-conference games, get a little bit of a flavor of regionally. But you have Chatham, Glenwood, and Rochester there, you know, two behemoths. And then you have MacArthur and Normal U-High getting in at 5-4 to show that. So, yeah, it's fast and furious action. They're taking a break for the 6A to 8A stuff. And honestly, we got a few teams that are going to be available for that. But thoughts overall here is for what you're seeing. We see a few of those teams there again. We see it every year. Somebody's going to take that 4 or 5 hour trip. Somebody's going to get in a bus and go. But then there's been some pleasant surprises here. Comparing the 24 bracket to now, we see a lot of our local teams here in our area not having to necessarily make those big trips. And I know Salt Fork folks are just like, you know, they're turning us off now. You know, they're probably the one blaring example there. But, you know, if you take care of business and obviously you got to take care of it week in, week out from the very beginning of the season to the very end. And they're a young team. They're a building team. But it gives them that good experience. And let's face it, Dupo's an 8-1. So it's not like they were a top tier 9-9-0 team. They could have drawn a lot worse. They end up drawing a big trip down. But it may be a potentially favorable matchup, especially with that play of Zaden Bromley. We saw him in action last night on our platforms. He can make some things happen. We'll be interested to see whether or not that, could potentially be an upset that allows Salt Fork to get a home game. If they win, you know, that puts them in a pretty good position as a 5-4, since they would not have hosted. They may get a home game against a better team the following week.
Just the wheels are turning. Now that the brackets have been released, the wheels are turning from the coaches, the assistant coaches, and of course, fans. Oh, we're going to have to travel. And okay, so the next thing is, well, what time's the game? And, of course, some of that will be actually determined tonight. Some of those decisions will be made,
Some of those may have already been conceded here. I mean, it's a simple. You've met some of these coaches; they're good old boys. Hey, what do you guys think about 1 o'clock Saturday? Yeah, that's fine with us. All right, you got game film coming. All right.
Yeah, just
good. Congratulations, coach. And they get back to their team.
Right, so. And sometimes it is just that simple, you know. And other times it gets a little complicated. But I think there is a. By IHSA standards, I think games have to kick off by a certain time on a Saturday. And, of course, the first couple of rounds, you can play on a Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you get to a certain point in the playoffs where then games are mandated to be played on Saturday. But you mentioned it earlier. Some coaches, like, you know, if they qualify, they're accustomed to that Friday at 7, and that's what they want.
I think geographics play into it. I think if you're within a certain mile range, you can do Friday. They prefer it. But the officials, at this point in time of the year, you know, if you have so many games during the regular season, you should have officials available by the time playoffs come around.
Absolutely.
And everybody's... You whittled down to your best officials, too. That's the hopes, anyway. We're diving into 6A. Our favorite team, Hononiga. Did I pronounce that correct?
Rockton Hononiga.
Hononiga. Oh, we have fun saying that.
Pretty close.
Year.
That's you got it almost.
I'm going to get there someday. They are traveling to Nazareth Academy, a perennial powerhouse in 6A. Highland Park hosts Wheaton Warrenville South. Lake Zurich entertaining Grant Antioch. And Glenbard South, Burlington Central, Libertyville. Harlem will host Mather. It'll be Riverside, Brookfield hosting Rolling Meadows, Kennedy, and Fenwick. There again, a whole host of northern teams in 6A on that northern bracket. We turn to the 6 South.
Chad, let me interject something just real quick for the benefit of our audience. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Nazareth at the top of that 6A north bracket hosting Rockton Hononiga. I think LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy, I believe, is the only school to have lost 5 games and still won a state title.
That was within the last 10 years. Two years ago.
Yeah, because, again, they had 5 losses, but they're in a very competitive conference where they were playing larger schools.
Yeah.
And they qualified by virtue of playoff points and you know, the whole schematic of who makes the playoffs played itself out, and they qualified as a 4-5 team and then ran the table and won a state championship with 5 losses.
And let's face it, a lot easier to do that in that 6A, 7A, 8A level where the enrollment skews so heavy. You're talking thousands of kids, multiple campuses possibly. And, they just popped up on – it's almost like you willed them to be on the television.
As I mentioned it, here they are on TV. But I believe they – I'm just sure they are the only school in state football history to have 5 losses and win a state title.
We talked about Glenwood earlier being in that Central State 8 East. They will host Joliet Catholic. East St. Louis, your Flyers, going to entertain Plainfield East in round 1. Normal Community West takes on Thornwood at home. It'll be Good and Simeon. It'll be Bradley Bourbonnais hosting Shepherd. Oaklawn entertaining St. Lawrence. Crete Moni hosting Quincy. And Dunlap welcomes in Pekin. So that is your 6A bracket. You get Normal West off the board. Leaves only Normal Community in that 7A bracket, which we'll stop because if we don't have 8A teams, why go through the bracket? You'll see those later posted on WITYradio.com. We'll spend our time focusing a little more regionally on what we have here. But there again, we see that the perennial powerhouses, you get Glenwood in there, you have Rochester at the lower levels, even though Tuscola didn't have the year that they want. Year in, year out, it's always interesting to see where these teams go. They may have those injuries during the year. They may have a freshman quarterback or something going on that they can't figure out. They get it right. They get the ship righted. They get in. However they get in, you start 0-0.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, a 4-5 team went in the championship a few years ago. Obviously, by the end, they have a winning record, but it's a brand new season, and that's what you got to treat it as. And it's a win and keep advancing, win and go on, and lose and go home.
You know, that is one thing about closed conferences. Athletic directors love them for football because there's no problem in trying to find opponents. You have 10 teams in your conference, and you're going to play the other 9 schools, and it just makes football scheduling very easy. The flip side of that is you don't get a chance to step outside of your conference and play a bigger school. So if you're a 2A and you are in a closed conference, you don't get a chance to step out and play a 3A or a 4A to really test yourself, et cetera. So those, you know, there's just all kinds of things which come into play. And as you mentioned, injuries. And, of course, now this time of the year, weather is going to become a factor. The clocks are going to change here in a little bit. It's going to be getting darker even earlier. So the start times at 2 and 3 o'clock become a part day, part night game. So all kinds of things which factor into the outcomes of these high school football games.
While they're on break, we'll take a quick break as well. Be back with more of the IHSA Playoff Pairing Show for 2025 on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, the WITY radio app.
Game night in Catlin? You know where to go. The Store, Restaurant, and Bar. It's your hometown hangout for Friday night sports. Open late so you can celebrate after the final whistle. Craving something delicious? Try the homemade pizza or one of the stacked subs, Italian beef, chicken bacon ranch, and more. Open every day but Wednesday for lunch, dinner, and good times. Need it to go? Call ahead for fast pickup. 217-843-0984. Find them at 102 North Sandusky in Catlin. The Store, Restaurant, and Bar, where fun is always in store.
Just because you have a variety of insurance policies doesn't mean you need a variety of agents. I'm Dustin Ehler, your country financial representative in Fairmount. I can help you with all of your insurance needs, from life to health to property insurance, in town or on the farm. I can show you how to take advantage of any discounts available for good drivers to good students, homes equipped with smoke detectors, and more. And the best thing is, it's all available from one person. Call me, Dustin Ehler, your country financial representative at 205 South Main in Fairmount at 217-733-2154.
Now your WITY Skywatch weather. I'm meteorologist James Covington. A few isolated showers tonight, cloudy with a low near 45. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Becoming sunny, breezy, and mild for every Sunday, high around 64. East winds 10 to 20. Sunday night, mostly clear, a bit cooler, low near 41. Having a look at Monday, mostly sunny, breezy, and less humid. Highs in the lower 60s. You're listening to Ileana's Best Choice, WITY.
Welcome back to the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show, WITY Sports Presentation here on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY. Also online, WITYradio.com and the WITY app. It goes quick. We're almost through it here, Joe. Let's go into 7A North. Richards entertains Edwardsville. Hersey will host Peyton. Is it Guilford? Guilford?
Guilford.
Guilford hosting St. Rita. And Guilford's out of Rockford, right?
Absolutely. Right.
Okay. Lincoln Way Central and Revis. Glenbard East hosts West Chicago. Batavia gets together with Hoffman Estates. Moline and Andrew. And Yorkville hosting Glenbard North. Over on the 7 South, and we use that term very loosely in 7A because we saw Glenbard North, and now we see Glenbard West In the south part of the bracket, they'll host Willowbrook, Downers Grove North, which is still fairly north when the confines of Illinois, but in the south bracket, they'll host Prospect. Lincoln Way West hosts Lincoln Park, Kenwood and Prosser, St. Charles North and United Township. Then we get downstate a little bit. Normal Community will make the long trip up to Carmel. Normal Community, remember, a conference champion, but 7-2. They were one of the four 7-2 teams in the Big 12. They will travel on the road to Carmel. Brother Rice entertains Jefferson, and Addison Trail will host Jacobs in 7A action. So we see the pairings up on the television there. Normal Community and Carmel, both 7-2 teams. And when you get to 7A, they go the 132 route rather than the 116 north and 116 north, 116 south. You see Normal Community at 19 seed at Carmel at 14 seed. So there again, we see a situation where the 7-2s kind of get themselves in a situation where it doesn't shake out. It's kind of a dealer's choice, like spinning the wheel on Wheel of Fortune a little bit. You're right next to bankrupt, but maybe you're right next to $1,000 as well, and you're just waiting for that that last ping to go. In this case, Normal has to make the trip north.
You just never know. And, you know, as we talked about this evening, some of these games are their neighbors, you know, 20 mm-hmm. miles apart, and they get a first-round game, and then others, and particularly the big schools down south, because there's so few of them, you know, like from Interstate 74 south, the majority of those 7A and 8A schools are, you know, Kankakee and north. So somewhere yeah. along the line, if you're a school down by St. Louis, like East St. Louis or something, mm-hmm. You're going to be making a trip up north, because just by the sheer fact that that's the where the majority of the bigger schools are.
Right. Just looking forward or looking in the 7A bracket here, the teams that are really like down, like 74 corridor down, Normal Community. And that's the list. Normal Community. Because you see like some of the Belleville teams, Edwardsville teams, Collinsville. You have to win your games. And so not only you have to win your games, but then you gear up for that season. And granted, yes, the travel's so much better because you exchange the school bus for three or four of those charter buses with the right. cushy seats and the refrigerator and the air conditioner, the heated and air conditioned bathroom, whichever you might, you know, it's not conditioned like it used to be, where we get the duct taped and the glued together seats and the old Bluebird to fire yeah. it up, you know, the smell of the heater. Everybody's huddled together to try to stay warm.
The kids are saying, "What? What are you talking about?"
The bus stutters out of the stop.
Oh, we remember. Those of us who are old enough do remember those days. Oh, I'm having flashbacks here, you know, riding the bus.
Our bus drivers didn't have the captain's hat and a tie. They, you know, they had the blue-stained chalk-lined jacket.
Overalls. Yeah. And
It was the farmer taking right. a couple hours out of his day.
That's right. The railroad cat, maybe.
And by all means, for all of our bus drivers growing up, still alive.
We love you.
If you're out there listening, we love you to death.
We did.
We've got endless stories that we will tell our children for years upon end about you.
Good stories.
Right, right. Those guys wearing the uniforms with the captain's hats, they may have stories. We don't have stories about them. They are partitioned off from right. us. They are in a different world. We're going to bypass our 8A bracket because we don't have folks here locally. For our 1 IAFA 2025 bracket, this is 8-man football with a couple representatives. Milledgeville, the 1 seed, will host Macon Meridian, the 16 seed. South Beloit, up there on top of the north on the border, number 8, will host Alden Hebron, number 19, or Hebron, Alden Hebron. Pawnee, number 4 seed, smack dab in the middle of state, will get Flanagan in there. That's a 4-13 matchup. And we mentioned earlier, Milford Sista Park, number 12, will travel to Amboy. That's number 5. They're up there just southeast of Sterling, Illinois. Not a horrible trip for them, but certainly the Bearcats want to make sure that they can get in there and dominate there. The south part of that bracket, South Fork, that's over Kincaid, over in the Taylorville area. They're a 2 seed. They'll host Galva, a 15 seed. West Carroll, number 7 seed, will host West Central, number 10. Polo, the Marcos, number 3, will host Kirkland. That's a 14 seed. And St. Anne, number 6 seed, will host Metro East Lutheran out of Edwardsville. We talked about it off air. St. Anne, that could have been, if it was flipped going the other way, a long trip, but their opponents, Edwardsville, Metro East Lutheran, making the long trip up to take on St. Anne up there in Iroquois County. So that shakes out to be a nice way, and the possibility that if you can run the tables there, you could get that St. Anne Milford Sista Park matchup in the IAFA championship.
And I think those two teams played in the regular season, I believe. And
same conference.
Same conference,
so
you know.
St. Anne was 7-0. Let's see here. I don't think they updated the today's stats, but they were 7-1 heading into today. Milford was 6-3 to end their season. Or St. Anne may have had a a team that would bypass the season there with a situation there.
You know, St. Anne was a school that had football for the longest time, and they were on
and
the
they brought it back.
They brought it back. They were on the back in the '70s. They were on the Schlarman schedule, and Schlarman played them home and away for about 4 years, and then just recently they just didn't have enough players, and they just did not have football.
Yeah,
and but they brought it back. I think they have a new synthetic field, and they came back with 8-man football, and they've been very competitive with the 8-man game ever since it returned about 4 years ago. So
would love to see some of these smaller schools that don't offer this in the fall. Maybe you get a couple of those to co-op together. And some of those schools still have football fields out there.
Absolutely.
And if you have an offering for it, looking at, and of course some of these schools, like I said, they're either part of conglomerates now or some consolidations or some co-ops out there, but there's some fields out there that are crying for fans, and to bring a little bit back to them. Let's see whether or not that may play into things here in the very near future. Let's take our last break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app.
I'm sorry, sir. We get a lot of prescriptions. Your prescription will take a few more hours to fill. I will need to call your insurance for approval for one of them. It's been busy in our store drive-thru today, so I may not be able to call until tomorrow to get it approved.
So I have to wait? Go without it? My doctor sent this in this morning. I need this medicine.
I apologize for the inconvenience. I hope you understand.
Sound familiar? Don't take chances. Take your prescriptions to MedPlus Pharmacy for quick, friendly, and convenient service. Call 217-431-6662. Experience the difference at MedPlus Pharmacy, 511 West Fairchild in Danville.
Did you know ServPro does more than just restoration and reconstruction work? Well, winter is coming on soon, and most of us will be spending most of our time inside. If you are experiencing allergies or strange smells in your HVAC system, it may be time for your ducts to be cleaned. ServPro can schedule your duct cleaning today. Cleaning, restoration, and construction. Just one call. ServPro does it all. Visit them at ServProVermillionCounty.com.
Welcome back to the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show on WITY. Chad Baker, Joe Englund with you. We just talked off air. That's the best thing about this, Joe, is us being, I won't say privileged to have the information, but having the information, sharing it with the others, sharing the excitement, and then now everybody's excited, and there's just a rush of doing this each and every year, and I know that you enjoy doing it. And
oh, very much so.
Thanks again for jumping on board this year, and we'll do it again. We'll put it on the calendar for 26.
Well,
how's that sound?
Count me in. I like it, and of course the stories and the history, And I know I want to just share something very mm-hmm. quickly. I know we didn't talk about 8A, but I think there's an interesting story here at 8A.
Sure. Let's do it.
At least the defending two-time state champ, Loyola Academy out of Wilmette. Mm-hmm. I know they won the last two 8A titles. They are in again this year, but they're at 4-4. They had a bye week. And okay. so they did not get nine games. They only played eight, and they're 4-4, and they're going up against a team that they just played, Chicago Mount Carmel, 9-0. So it's interesting. I don't know in my history if a 4-4 team has made it. I'm sure somewhere along the line a 4-4 team has made the playoffs. But normally, you know, everybody plays nine games, but they actually had a bye week where they could not get a game scheduled. So they did qualify at 4-4. They're the number 32 seed in 8A, but they're going up against the number one seed, once again, Chicago Mount Carmel.
Well, and you wonder whether or not it's a better situation to be a 4-4 team with a bye week and get that week of rest and make sure your guys don't get injured, or if you get a 4-5 team in there and you take your lumps for an extra week, yeah. what that does on the mentality of things. And there again, let's cheer for them.
Right. Oh, and Chicago Mount Carmel, they're like Joliet Catholic. They have one of the just
every year
an outstanding program and a state title run that's second to none. So they're really very competitive.
We've got about three and a half minutes here left before we wrap up here, Joe. Let's quickly take a look as we roll right through this again here in 1A. If you missed it, Clifton Central hosting Knoxville, GCMS hosting Ottawa and Marquette. Those going north in the bracket there. Do you see any pathways there? Anything that's maybe standing out to you? And then if we go to the south, we've got KZ Westfield hosting Red Hill, Tuscola, Nokomis, Salt Fork at Dupo. We talked about the possibility there, Oakwood. So it's a possibility. Salt Fork, Dupo winner will take on Oakwood, Carrollton winner. You may end up seeing a Salt Fork Oakwood matchup second round. And there again, getting the cart in front of the horse, that would be nice. And that would be a fun one to have coming back here to Vermilion County if that were to play out.
Well, one thing is for sure, and that is a lower seed is going to beat a higher seed throughout these playoffs. It happens mm-hmm. you know, all the time that an 8 is going to beat a 2 or a 12 is going to beat a 4. I mean, it just happens. So just because you're the higher seed doesn't mean automatically that you're going to win. That's why we play the games, and that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Who did you play? Mm-hmm. You know, you're 9-0, but, you know, who did you play to get those 9 wins? This team has 5. They finished up 5-4. But, look, they played a much more competitive schedule. So, you know, somebody along the line is going to be a higher seed, and they're going to get beat by a lower seed. That makes this so much fun.
Oakwood beat Salt Fork 28-7 in Week 8, by the way. 2A, you have everybody going south. We talked about BHRA traveling to Pena. The winner of that game will take on the Nashville Flora winner. So there might be a situation there where BHRA could potentially get a second-round home game. A second-round travel would send them downstate. Westville-Shelbyville winner will host the winner of DuQuoin-Carlinville. ALAH Marshall winner takes on the Cumberland-Sullivan winner there. So that kind of stays local. 3A, you've got Bloomington Central Catholic going north, Bishop Mack going north. 3A South, you have Unity hosting Mount Carmel. The winner of that matchup will take on the winner of Paris Monticello, so that potentially stays local there unless if Mount Carmel pulls the upset over Unity, then somebody could go to the Pit, which not altogether terrible for Paris. Maybe that's a pretty long trip for Monticello, though. St. Joe Ogden and Benton, they will take on the winner of the Roxana-West Frankfort matchup. You go to 4A, the North Peoria-Notre Dame Marengo winner takes on the Montini Urban Prep Bronzeville winner, Montini, the one seed there. And then South, the one seed Alney-Jacksonville winner will take on Centralia-Cahokia, which we talked about already. And then you dive into 5A with all of our massive teams there. Muhammad Seymour Marion winner will take on a Washington Normal U-High winner. Washington the one seed there. Centennial going to Oak Forest. The winner there will take on the winner of Bloomington Muscoota. So potential the Bloomington Centennial could match up if it worked out. And Peoria MacArthur winner takes on Morton Thornton Fractional North winner. We'll have all this posted online later, but some exciting times here. Let's let the games commence here.
I was going to say, let the good times roll. you know, because it's just such an exciting time of the year. And again, this show tonight, just a lot of fun to do. And again, just all of the thoughts that are going through people's minds as we prepare for the playoffs.
We'll get excited. We'll go tailgate. We'll have some fun. Joe Anglim, thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
I'm Chad Baker. Thanks for joining us for the 2025 IHSA Playoff Pairing Show.
980 AM and 99.5 FM, WITY, Danville.